Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
Welcome again to those who are visiting us. Welcome you. My name is Didier, so I'll be giving the word today. And for those who saw on the poster on YouTube, my titles, a lot of people ask me what you mean by that, because I title my message, Christmas Without Christ. So it's a bit of a contradiction a bit. Christmas, but no Christ. Amen. So let me pray first. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you gave me to stand in front of your people and to share the word of God. I submit myself under your lordship and your authority, and I ask the anointing of God to be upon me, Lord. Everything that will come out of my mouth, I pray that that should not come from my mind, but from your word, O God. And I pray also for people who will be listening to me here, even online, that this word will be a word that will bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so the title of my message is Christmas Without Christ. Why I give titles? Because if you read what's happening in the world, it's like there's a big battle to cancel Christmas. And we're living in the world where the woke movement, they want to cancel everything. If they don't agree with you, they cancel you, you disappear, you don't exist. And it's becoming a big battle. Even in classes, I have children that are going to class, they don't even want them to speak about Jesus. They happy, you can speak about everything, but don't mention about Jesus. Amen. And I saw also even in our church, in our life group, there was also debate. People saying, no, we should not celebrate Christmas. It's, you know, it's a pagan thing. So even within the church, there's that battle of people not wanting about Christmas. So my role this morning is, I'm not here to advocate or to defend Christmas, but I want to just highlight something which I think is a danger, because the Bible says, it's not the Bible, like we say, Christ is the reason for the season. Amen. If we have Christmas, it's because of Christ, because Christ was born. And on the Christmas, I was telling one of my friends, they say, on Christmas, the first word is say Christ. Amen. So you can't have Christmas without Christ. Hallelujah. I know many people are planning nice meal, family gathering, but I want to say about something like, if Christ is not going to be among your gathering, there is no meaning for you to celebrate it. Amen. Because Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. Before I start, I want to give a story. Listen to the radio, so it's not my story. Someone was talking about a couple that got married, but the husband didn't have a lot of money, so the parent of the wife asked the husband, he says, fine, we have a big house, you guys got married, you don't have enough finance, come, you can stay in our home. So the couple, after got married, they went to live with the wife parent. And after a few years, the husband was upset. You know, like, I don't know who like to live with the in-law. So, the husband got a bit agitated. He said, start speaking to the wife. Please, speak to your parents. We need our own space, you know. They need to move. And then one day he gathered all his courage, and then he sat down his parent-in-law to say, look, Dad, I think it's time now that you guys can find your own place or you go to old age because we need some space. And the father was just quiet, sit there, and then he just answered him and said, I want to just remind you, say, this house is my house, not yours. So you're living in my house. You can't ask me to leave my own house. And that's the challenge that we're having today. People of the world, they want to cancel Christ from this world. The Bible says the whole world belongs to him. He is the creator of this world. He is the creator even for us. Jesus, oh God, is the one that made us. But I don't understand why you want to take out Jesus out of everything. Amen. Even in church today, some people, they think Christmas is just, you know, it's a good tradition, but there's no that sense. I feel like there's no that sense of appreciation to understand what it's all about. Amen? Yes, we can argue to say, yes, Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. Yes, I agree with you. But me and you, we don't know when he was exactly born. Hallelujah. And I remember the scripture, Paul telling Timothy to say, remember Jesus Christ. So the reason why we celebrate today, it's not because he was born on this day, but we remember the one day there was a Savior that was born. Hallelujah. He was born, he came. I want to read Isaiah. Like today when I opened my app, my Bible app, there was a scripture that came up, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We don't have a Bible. Okay, I'll read for you. So, my message is not going to be long. It's just 2 hours. Yes. Okay. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I'll read. For a child will be born, for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulder. He'll be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be his dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. Amen. So this child that was born, yes, the world wants to keep us to celebrate the child that was born in the manger. But if you read in Isaiah, he's a mighty God. He's a wonderful counselor. He's an eternal father. He's a prince of peace. Hallelujah. So today, I want us to change a bit our mentality to that of, to shift a bit of mentality of that of manger and look at the king that was born. Hallelujah. So, as I say, that story, it's the same way that people today, they want to celebrate. I think people have prepared like a lot of meal. I think on Thursday, I was somewhere, I needed to buy some food because my wife and kid are away, so I was alone. I ran out of food in the house, so I went to the shop, wanted to get some food. And then I heard the manager of the shop telling his people that are working in the store to say, look, I want you guys to come early. Tomorrow we're going to open at 7 o'clock. Because there was this anticipation that people will buy a lot of meat. There will be a celebration on Christmas. And I'm sure some of us here, we already prepared a meal, a feast. But my problem, as I said today, if your meal, your preparation today won't have Jesus Christ, there's no need for you to celebrate. Amen. Another scripture that I want us to read is Luke chapter 2:40 to 46. I'll be quick. Luke chapter 2, verse 40 to 46. It's a long passage of scripture, but we'll do quickly because that's going to be the basis of our message this morning. I'll start reading. Say, the boy grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom and God's grace, and God's grace was with him. Every year, his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the festival. After those days were over, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming he was, I want you to underline the word assuming. Assuming he was in the traveling party, they went a day journey, then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple complex, sitting among the teacher, teaching and listening to them and asking them questions. Amen. So this story speaks about Mary, because when you read the story of nativity, you see like Jesus was not a child like any other child. In Isaiah, or if you read a little bit further, you see like the angel came, appear to Mary, speaking about him, say, you'll conceive a child. And that conception was not a natural conception. And they explained to him, say, that child will be the savior of the world. And I don't want to go back to the story. You'll find out that when Herod heard that a child was born, he did everything possible to try to kill the child because he felt he was threatened. He was threatened that this child is coming because the prophecy was talking about him. We heard in Isaiah that he will be the king. He will be the ruler. And then he said all the dominion will be upon him. So when Herod heard that there's a child, that the Jews were waiting for him, that he would be the king, was being born, he did everything possible so that he can destroy this child. And when you read further before this passage, you find out that God warned Joseph and Mary to say, look, take this child and take him to Jerusalem. And they took the child, to Egypt. They took the child and they went to Egypt until that period was passed. But here we found out later on, when Jesus was 12 years old, they went back to Jerusalem because it was in the tradition for the Jew to go once a year to celebrate. They arrived there at the celebration and then they start coming back. They forget the child Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's a situation, that's a reason why I call this message Christ, a Christmas without Christ. Many people today, they are born again. They are children of God. They come to church. But when you search their life, when you go to their life, they live like Jesus is not there. Amen. Yes, they have knowledge of Christ. They've given their life to Christ. But when you look into their life, you look how they are living, Christ is not there. Mary, if I was Mary, I should not leave my eyes on this child. Day and night, I should be looking at him. But something happened here. I don't understand what happened. They forget the child. And the Bible says they even went back almost a day without your firstborn. If it was in South Africa here, you go to the police to report my child is missing. They say wait 72 hours before we can register a child missing. But I can put myself in the state of Mary and Joseph. They were in shock. They were panic. They say, we can lose all these other kids because I believe They were other kid after Jesus, but they said, this one, we cannot lose him. Why? Because he was a special child. He was not an ordinary child. But they lost him. And my point I want to bring up there, it is possible to lose your Lord that you receive. I don't know if all of us here are born again. It's easy to lose the presence of God. In the world of today, it's very, very easy to lose the presence of God. Even in church, it's possible to lose the presence of God. I'm not saying you can lose your salvation. I believe once you are saved eternally. But after salvation, there's a relationship that we have with Jesus. There's a fellowship that we have with Jesus. And that, you can lose it easily if you don't cherish it. The difference between the relationship and the fellowship is together. In fellowship, it's called, in Greek, it's a word called koinonia, to share together. Here we can see, yes, Mary and Joseph were still the parent of Jesus. But at this moment, they lost him. Hallelujah. I don't know if you understand. You can still be a born-again child of God, but you lose the presence. You lose your fellowship with him. Once you are a child of God, if you are really born again, if you've given your life to Christ, nothing can take that away from you. But you can lose your fellowship. And it just takes a little bit of sleep, a little bit of distraction, and you ask yourself, am I really a child of God? The way you're living. And there's some, I want to enumerate some few things that I think that is robbing us from the presence of God today in the church of today. Is these things of called right, my right. The Bible says, in Christ we have no right. Christ is the Lord of everything. Someone say, if Christ is not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. If Christ cannot control your entire life, if Jesus cannot control your finance, your health, your business, then he's not Lord of all. When Jesus comes in your life, you want to be Lord of everything. Your relationship, your finance, you lose all the right. And there's one preacher was saying, he said, true freedom is found in slavery. When you become a slave to your master, then you find freedom. Because if you want to be free, there will be something else that's going to be your master. Either yourself, your flesh, the world, or something else. But when you submit your life to Christ and you say, Lord, I want you to be my Lord. I want to be in control of everything. Then you find true liberty. Right. We have right. We live in the world, 21st century. We live in the world where everyone have rights. It's my right. The other thing that can rob you of the presence of God is the busyness. I thank God for lockdown. It was a good thing. Because it slowed us a little bit. We were so busy doing, running up and down. But God allowed that we had lockdown so that we can slow a little bit. We can think about life. We can think about things that are important. Money is not important. Your work is not important. People didn't have time for family. People were not even having time for family. God had stopped the world to say, look at your family, look at your wife, look at your husband, look at your children. The busyness of today is robbing us from the presence of God. People didn't even time to read the Bible, to study the Bible. So we had to slow down, to sit in our home, to start again reading. The other things that can rob you from the presence of God is an offense. Nowadays, in the churches, it's easy to offend someone. If you point something to someone and say, I think your life, you're not working right. I get offended. I leave the church. Freedom. I am free to do whatever I want. No, the Bible says we are not free to do what we want. We belong to Him. We are His servant. We are His children. You can't be free to do what you do. Even Jesus Himself, He said, everything I do what my Father tells me. What I hear from my Father, that's what I do. I don't do what pleases me. Pleasure. We so entangled to pleasure. Everything that can give us pleasure, we go. And we spend even money into it. We seek pleasure in eating. Check just how food has become. Everyone went to go to restaurant, picture. Oh, there's new restaurant, new food. We run there. And we put money. Why? We seek pleasure. There's this new trend. We run after that. Those things can rob us from the presence of God. Distraction. I don't know if there's been a century like our century that we're living in where there's so much distraction. TV. Now they brought it in our cell phone. Everywhere you go, even in the toilet, you have cell phone. People don't have time no more for God. And the Bible says, Jesus said, I want to fellowship with you. I want to dwell with you. I want to be with you. I want to supper with you. But we don't have time. Why? Because we are so much distracted. Other thing that can rob us from the presence of God is time. We don't have time. If I ask here, how many time do we spend studying the word? How many time do you spend praying? Prayer is, Lord, thank you, bless me, keep me. Amen. See you at night. Thank you. That's it. We don't spend any more time with God because all our time has been to something else. The other thing that can rob us also from the presence of God or to lose the presence of God is difficulty. When someone goes through difficult time, it's easy to lose the presence of God. That's why we need to look after each other. Thank you for those who gave offering. I bless God for this church because, you know, other churches where they have offering, everything goes something else. But in this church, we have offering for those who are suffering. We look after the poor. You cannot be at peace when other people are suffering and you have so much, you just enjoy life. No. You don't know, maybe because of that difficult time that person is going through, he might say, God, I don't want you. We spoke about people that they were in the tragedy in Boxbeck. I'm sure all of us, we follow the news, we saw the video. And I was shocked. I saw one video really shocked me. There's one guy in his vehicle, this guy completely burned, he's crying, and the guy is telling that guy, go to the hospital. How is he going to go to the hospital? You have the vehicle. Pick him up, put him in your car, even if he's going to stay in your car, take him, give him help, because you are the only help that he has today. The church, we've lost that. It's like that time of Samaria, the story of a good Samaritan. We can pass. Today, some people are going to waste a lot of food. They will eat, they're not going to finish, they're going to throw away. But there are people in the streets who don't have food today. There will be people today they will cry, say, God, where are you? Why can't also have something too for my children? But there will be people who are going to throw food in the dustbin. Difficult time can lead people to lose the presence of God. So let's look after the poor among us. If you don't see them in your street, go out. Go find them. Because maybe that person is just waiting there. Some people, they want to kill themselves because they are going through difficulty. How many people find ourselves in that position today? Like, because of these things I mentioned, they ride the business, freedom, they play, looking for pleasure, distraction. We've lost the presence of God. And some people, they are even in denial. They said, no, me, I'm okay with God. They don't even acknowledge that God is not there. Speaking about the relationship, the Bible says, Amos 3:3 says, two people cannot work together if they don't agree. So meaning, if you say you are in a relationship with Christ, if you are born again, then you need to agree with Christ. And for you to agree in Christ, to agree what the scripture say, there's no discussion. There's no argument. If the word of God say what you are doing, it's a sin, you must stop it. Living with a woman that is not your wife. Living with a wife, a husband that is not yours. Stealing. Hating other people. God is not in agreement. If there's one thing that God does not agree with, is sin. So today, I want to call you back to examine yourself and check, do you still have that fellowship with Christ or not? Are you still in his presence? And you'll think that, first of all, as I said, like I mentioned, that it's easy. It's easy to lose the presence of God. My second point is, it's people that you cannot expect that they can lose the presence of God. Those are the ones that are losing the presence of God. Mary and Joseph, you'll think that they will cherish this child, but said the one, the parent, they lost their own child. Why? Because they were not vigilant. They were, it became like a routine. Ah, it's day. Jesus is day. If you read the scripture the way we read, they say, they know like it's amongst everyone. And how do you know, like, you've lost your presence, the presence of God? You can feel it in your heart that God is far away. You will feel it in your heart that there's no joy, because when Jesus is in your heart, when you are in a fellowship with Christ, there's that joy people cannot explain. You might go through difficulty, you have nothing, but you are joyful. When everyone crying, hey, South Africa is, but you be at peace because you know God is in control. Your life does not depend on the economy of South Africa. Your life does not depend on how much money you have in your pocket, because God is taking care of you. Fear. There are a lot of people living in fear. Even in church, fear of tomorrow. Oh, they're going to come kill us. They're going to come take this. When you find fear in your heart, that's a sign that you've lost the presence of God. Guilt. You may not show it to people. You may hide it. You might hide it so that people don't see. But when you go in your closet, there's a word. If you're a child of God, there will be a voice that's saying to you, you've done something wrong. This one of the guy. I won't mention it from who. That awake, I think at 2 o'clock 2 days ago at night, I was just praying and then I saw him was online. So I checked with him, say, what are you doing at this time? He said, no, I'm just awake. And then the next day I met with him, say, Hey, what happened? Why were you awake at that? He told me, say, Ish, I was in a bad position, bad situation. My wife is away, went home, so I had a girlfriend. I pick up one girl in the streets. So when I was online, I was going to drop that girl. And then he tell me something. He's not a born again. He tell me something. He said, I feel bad. I feel like I've done something wrong. I shouldn't have done that. How many of us feel like that when you sin? How many of us feel guilty when you've done something wrong? That's a sign that the presence of God is not there. This 21st century has become a century of pleasure and feast. We seek pleasure. Even if it's going to cost someone, it's going to cost my relationship with God, or it's going to hurt other people, I don't care. As long as I get that pleasure, it's fine. There's no more sacrifice for other. There's no more to say, for God, like, I'm going to fast, I'm not going to eat today. Or for the pleasure of for the advancements of other people, I accept to suffer. It's no longer there. Technology has become a thing like to distract us. Food, wealth has become more important than the presence of God. Pleasure, light, even in church. You get people coming in church. All they think about, am I going to get a cappuccino after the service? Sorry, today there's no cappuccino because I've heard see people after the service, they complain because the coffee was not good or there was no biscuit. I was somewhere in a church where we were having a meeting. When we have a meeting with the leader, the most heated discussion we're having is how many biscuit people have after the service. Come on, people. Did God save us to distribute biscuit? No. Third point. You can lose the presence of God in the place that you cannot expect. Mary and Joseph, Jerusalem, of all the places, the Feast of Tabernacle, of all the places, that way they lost Jesus. My prayer for you today, that you're not going to lose your relationship with Jesus today at the party. Time where family gather together, but it's also the time where a lot of people there will be brokenness. People will fight. People they come to celebrate together, but when after today everyone gonna go his party, they won't talk to each other anymore until next year Christmas. It shouldn't be like that. Don't make this Christmas to be the one that you lose your presence. You lose the anointing, you lose your fellowship with Christ. If you read the scripture, why they lost Jesus? Because of familiarity. They knew, there's that one. They themselves, let me go back to the scripture like where we read. Sorry, I want to just... Verse 4, they say they assume he was traveling when they were going back. They assume. You cannot assume your relationship with God. Every single day, you must make sure that you are right with God. Because the Bible said to us, we don't know the day when it's going to come. Those people in Boxback, I know there were some people going to do their trade, but blast, poof, gone. You can't assume. You must make sure every single day that you are right with God. That if death comes today, you are ready. Amen. Say they assume he was with other relatives. They didn't make sure. Why? Because they get familiar with Christ. A lot of people are becoming familiar with God. They say, we can do whatever. God, he knows us, he understands us. The French, they have a song they sing, he said, we all gonna go to paradise because God is good. No. We all not gonna go to paradise. Some gonna go to hell. Not that God want people to go to hell, but people go to hell because of the negligence. What also led to lose Jesus was the crowd. Because at that period, Jerusalem, it was a crowded event. People from all over the world, they were coming to celebrate. So they lost their eyes on the child. Distraction. I'm sure maybe there was music, there was stall, they were selling food. So they leave Jesus somewhere and then they start looking at the food. Maybe they wanted to buy some gift to bring back. What you call them? Memorability, yeah, that word. Let not the things of this world distract you. Because the Bible says all these things gonna stay behind. The cars, the wealth, everything gonna stay behind. Now my question to you is, where did you lose the presence of God? That question you can only answer yourself. Is it in your business? Is it in your distraction? Is in your holiday? Some people, they are on holiday. They left Jesus here. They say, we'll find you next year. It's my time now. Me, myself and I, and the beach. But God, he says, waiting for you. He never forsake you. Jesus was at the same place, and when they realized, they said they lost him, they ran back. They start asking themselves, where did we lose them? Say, let's go find that. The last time, where did we last saw him? Ah, it was in Jerusalem. Let's go back to Jerusalem. Jesus is where you last left him. At that last time, point where you were in fellowship with him, he's there, he's waiting for you. He's not going to judge you. Many people are scared. They say, I've went so far away. What would Jesus say? I'm sure Mary and Joseph could have also say, he will lambast us. He will say, yeah, you are a bad parent. How can you leave me 3 days? You didn't even think, how am I going to eat? Where am I going to sleep? If they're going to hijack me or things like that. No. They realize, they say, what was the most important is us to go back and find him, no matter what it's going to cost us. And that's traveling. The Bible says they travel for 3 days. I'm sure it cost them a lot of money to go back. Yes, it will cost you to go back to your relationship with Christ. Yes, you're going to need maybe to confess, to stand up, to say, Lord, I'm sorry. But the most important thing is to go back in relationship with your Lord. Maybe you are following online. You're asking, what should I do? All I'm asking you, the time is here. The Bible says we don't have much time. If you see what is happening in the world, the Lord is coming soon. Don't be like those unwise virgins. They thought to say, it's okay. It's taking long. We can relax, we can sleep. Make sure that they lamp and oil. My friend, I want to call upon you. Fill up again your lamp. It doesn't matter how far you've been or how long you stay away from the presence of God. Today, God wants you back. Don't spend this Christmas without him. You want to be part of your Christmas today. I want to read one scripture before we start landing. John chapter 20, verse 10 to 18. Then the disciple went home again, but Mary stood outside facing the tomb, crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look in the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where Jesus' body had been lying. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She responds, "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them. "And I don't know where they've put him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Though she didn't know it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have removed him, tell me where you have put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus told her, "for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brother and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." This story speaks about when Jesus was buried. I'm sure Mary remember again about when Jesus was 12 years old, he left him. So when Jesus died and they put him in the tomb, I think after 3 days, Mary remember again and said, "I cannot lose this child again. I must go to the tomb. Even if I'm going to stay there, I want to stay there. Even if I have to die by the tomb, I'll be there." He went there with that desire to be with the Lord. The Bible said there was also other disciples that went also there. But they went in the tomb. They saw nothing. They went out. But when Mary entered the tomb, he saw two angels. My question is, why these other disciples didn't see the angel? Why they didn't see Jesus? Because Jesus was standing there. Because their seeking was just by curiosity. Don't look Jesus for curiosity. You won't find him. But when you seek him to have a fellowship, he reveals himself to you. Because the Bible says, if you seek me, you seek me with all your heart, I'm going to reveal myself to you. So Mary was there. He saw there. He even started talking to the people. He was crying because that loss, that separation he had with his master was so deep. He was crying. He said, "I want to be with him. I don't want to lose that." And then when he saw Jesus, he said, "Where did you put him?" I was imagining this. He said to them, "Just give me the body. It doesn't matter. Even if the body is not alive, I just want to be with him." Is that your desire this morning, to be with him? Even if he does not bless you. Even if he doesn't give you what you want. Because most people are coming to God because of what they can have. "I want Jesus because he can heal me. He can give me." Yes, Jesus can. He wants to give you all of that. But the most important, he wants you to have his fellowship. And let me tell you, if you are not born again or you still try to figure out, should I go into relationship with Christ? Christ is not a boring Christ. Hallelujah. When Christ comes in your life, he brings joy. There's a story in the Bible. There was a party. When they ran out of wine, they went to Jesus. Jesus provided the wine. Hallelujah. If it's the wine that you want, Jesus can provide the true wine that gives joy. And then there's another story of Peter was fishing. He worked all night. He could not find anything. And Jesus came. He helped him. Maybe you are struggling at work. Your business is struggling. Bring the presence of God back into your business. Maybe you are disappointed. Bring the presence of God. Maybe your marriage is difficult. Just bring the presence of God and you see the difference. He said, "I'm knocking at the door. If someone open, I'll enter. Don't treat him like a pizza delivery guy. He come, he knock at the door, you take the pizza, say, "Cheese, go away." You want to enter inside. If it's money you want to give you, let him come and manage your money together. That's what Jesus wants. Amen. I want to finish. I don't know if amongst us here, there's people that say, "I've lost it. I know I'm saved, I'm a born again, but that fellowship is not there. And I make it right." This message just speaks to me. Often we assume, we say we are okay with God, but there's that lack of that presence. Because when Jesus is in your life, there's a difference. There's something. Life becomes easier. Because he said, even if you walk through the valley of death, you will fear nothing. Someone was explaining to me, he said, like, sometimes we want the evidence of presence of God, or the lack of difficulty is not what means that God is with you. Sometimes you might go through difficulty, but God is with you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were going through the fire. They told them, "If you don't do this, we're going to burn you." They were thinking, maybe God will make a plan. You know, you just stop the fire. No, they went through the fire. I think when they were tidying them, they were going, they were thinking, maybe God's going to put the fire down. No, when they go, they could feel the fire, but they didn't lose the salvation. Daniel, when they were throwing him by the lion, I think he was thinking, God going to shut the lion's mouth, or maybe the king will change his mind. No, they had to throw. He continued, even when he's going through the lion, he never renounced his Lord. He never renounced the presence of God. But one thing, God was proven faithful. He said, "Even in the fire, I'll be with you. Even in the lion den, I'll be with you." And when they were in the fire, the king came and said, "But we throw three people. Why they are laughing? And I see the fourth. Why?" Because when God is in you, life has become easy. So I want to call, if you are here, you want to make right with God, you want to say, "I need that fellowship. I need that restoration. I don't want to spend this Christmas without Christ. I want Christ to be at the center of my life, at the center of my celebration today." If you are here, please raise your hand. I want to pray with you. As I say, you need to take action. Joseph and Mary, they had to go back. They had to acknowledge that it's not there. We are all good. We're all good. We are all on fire for Jesus. I see only one person. Amen. Let's pray. All of us, let's pray for her. Pray also for me. I need that fire. The two of us are standing, so all of you pray for us. Yes, Father, we know that you are eternal God. You say you'll be with us until the end, O Lord. The song we sang earlier said, "Jesus, you are the love of our soul." Father, we pray that your presence is not going to leave us. We pray that where we've been far away, that you draw us near to you. I pray even for those online, that we acknowledge where we've lost your presence and make right and come as quick as possible, because the Bible says we don't know the day. We want to be ready, Father, when you come. We want to be ready when you call us, And we want to be ready for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. So let's take Jesus back in the Christmas. So today, if you go to a party or family gathering, I want to ask you to be bold. Before you start eating, just stand up, just shout, Jesus! Shock them. They ask you why. Say, because he is the reason for the season. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful time with your loved one. And we'll see each other in January. Those online, thank you for joining us. God bless you.